You know, 120 million Americans listen to podcasts. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It was 100 million when I got into space.
In your opinion, based on working with multiple companies and brands, what's a reasonable ROI to be expected by doing podcast advertising that you can track and account for, not adding the extra surplus of potential leak over or spillover?
First and foremost,
can you explain like just how Magellan AI works for people who have never heard about it, how the platform works and how brands and companies can benefit from it?
What Magellan AI is at its core is a podcast data and analytics company. For folks that are buying podcast advertising, like yourself, it's media planning and show discovery. Because unfortunately, for the industry writ large, discoverability is still a challenge. In the database itself, there's well over 40,000 podcasts that you have access to data to, and we'll connect you to every one of them. For folks that aren't as engaged in the space, there tends to be this belief that it's a blunt instrument, you know? Spray some ads out there and hope for the best. That's just not the case. I mean,
what's like the best productivity hack you've implemented in your business or personal life?
Oh, this is such a rote answer, but
Welcome everyone to the Partner Up Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Viancor, a former introverted small towner who now adds value to businesses by sharing the most effective ways to grow and scale using affiliate and influencer partnership strategies. I'll share the lessons I've learned over the past 15 years while helping my clients generate more than 100 million in sales. We'll also dive into productivity hacks, mindset, and the newest trends from real case studies and expert interviews. You're just one partnership away from changing your business. Get ready, partner up, and profit. Let's get into it. Before we get into the episode, make sure to visit partnerupprofits.com to get access to my library of systems, tools, templates, and courses to help you and your teams level up in affiliate and influencer marketing strategies. The Bootstrapper's Guide to Influencer Marketing is the go-to resource for making sense of how to profitably start, build, and scale an influencer marketing program, and it's got over 2 hours of free video lessons along with a resource guide. And I'm constantly adding new things to make your life easier with plug-and-play tools and templates, and it doesn't stop at influencer marketing. So if you like done-for-you systems and free stuff, then be sure to go to partnerupprofits.com and join the community today.
All right, John Goforth, welcome to the Partner Up Profits Podcast. I'm excited to have our conversation today because this is a topic that I'm really passionate about, so welcome.
Thanks for having me, Joe. We appreciate it.
Before we get started, I always want to ask, what's something interesting about yourself that not many people might know?
Oh, gosh. I don't know how interesting it is, but people might not guess since I've been in, you know, kind of marketing and advertising my whole career. I actually went to undergrad as a theater major on a scholarship to be an actor. So did plays, musicals, the whole deal. And about halfway through my undergrad, actually gave away the scholarship to switch over to marketing and advertising.
What was the decision behind that?
Well, okay. One of my favorite jobs I ever had, other than, of course, my current, was bartending. I was bartending at the time and, you know, paying my way through the rest of school for all the other costs. And I just woke up one day and said, you know, if I continue down the path of being an actor, there's a good chance I'm doing this when I'm, you know, 40 or above. Because unfortunately, whether you're successful as an actor or not is oftentimes subjective. We always like to say the best actor in the world is probably doing children's theater in Kentucky.
Right.
No one would know because no one saw him. And I just didn't want my future to be so dependent upon luck, chance, and the belief of others. I liked the idea of kind of controlling my own destiny. So that and the fact that you don't need a degree to be an actor, like the way I consoled myself at the time for moving away from it, it's like, well, I could still do it. And since then, I found other creative outlets for myself. I always need a creative outlet, but it doesn't have to be acting. And in fact, it hasn't been. Once I stopped, I haven't been back.
Okay. It's interesting. I've talked to so many people that have this creative outlet necessity in their life that have been in the artistry form of some sort, whether it's music or like creative arts, and then they make their way to marketing in some way. So there's some sort of pattern there, myself included. I play guitar and then I eventually, like to your point, where can I actually apply myself that would guarantee me more success potentially, but I still love doing it. You know, I've got a guitar in the background and I'm always playing it. That's my meditation for the day.
Absolutely. I think in marketing and advertising, I think a certain level of creativity is necessary to be successful. There are no definitive answers. It's not math. It's not science. It's everything. But in other lanes, there are definitive answers, black and white, yes and no. And if there were, if somebody could bottle definitive answers in marketing and advertising, they could buy an island somewhere and retire. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet. So, so some creativity is required.
I love it. Well, for today, I really want to get into podcast stuff. Here's a little story you might not know, but I didn't actually know what a podcast was in 2016. You just kind of confided in me that you've been a host, you've been on the other side of it. At the time, whenever I came into this industry, I was an affiliate manager for direct response space with email marketers. That was what I knew. That was my career. That's what I built the career upon. And then our CEO started talking about, let's get on to podcast ads. And I was like, cool, what's a podcast ad? You know, I have no idea what that commercial advertising platform was at the time. And back then, it was still probably more under the radar. Fast forward 7 years, the company has grown significantly in podcast ads as well as social influencer marketing. And we've become an Inc. 500 company. We became the third fastest growing supplement company in the US. But what really separated us, and it's not to just, you know, put Magellan AI on the spot, but you guys provided us insight and transparency and allowed us a tool to help us scale. So I really want to get into what that is. But overall, podcasts at large, the advertising world, where it's going, you've got your finger on the pulse on this. So this is what today's episode is going to be about. No matter if you're a beginner or a veteran, there's some value that you're going to get from this. So John, let's back up to like where you started in this. How did you get into this world with Magellan AI, podcast advertising? What's your background and like why podcast AI?
Yeah, I'll try not to bore everybody too much with my background, but I've always been an audio nerd. My very first job out of college was in local radio sales in Springfield, Illinois, and literally going around to the local HVAC guy's office, sitting there with him and talking about how he could spend his $300 that week or that month. And I've been in audio ever since. I went on to lead sales teams in the terrestrial radio space. And then I found myself more and more on my way to client meetings, not listening to my own stations, but listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a eureka moment. I'm like, wait a second. You know, it's like the old Wayne Gretzky thing, you know, skate to where the puck is going. Maybe I should consider, not that radio is going anywhere. It certainly isn't. I'm still a huge fan of terrestrial radio. It's changing, it's morphing, and it needs to, as all media channels do. But I thought, you know, this podcast thing is really growing, and wouldn't it be cool to be part of a kind of a nascent industry and be part of that growth? And so I set my sights on that. And as to your point, in 2016, 2017, made the switch.
Yeah. Well, first off, great quote on Gretzky. Love that. Second thing, you guys got ahead of the AI curve. I think AI has become this big thing in the past year for everybody being, you know, aware of it now. But whenever we started Magellan AI back, I don't know when it was, but it was many years ago now, I didn't really understand the AI component. I just knew what you guys were producing and the features of it. Now I'm starting to like catch on, but you guys were ahead of the curve on that. So good for you. And what I love too, over the past couple of years working together, is you guys have continued to like improve the system based on some feedback that, you know, we've given as well as clients. So can you explain like just how Magellan AI works for people who have never heard about it, how the platform works and how brands and companies can benefit from it?
Yeah, of course. And to be clear, you know, no credit goes to me. I wasn't even a part of the company when it was originated, even though I'm the CRO now. I was actually one of the first subscribers. So I was still leading sales only in the podcast space at a company called How Stuff Works. And early on in my time there, I realized the necessity of having, you know, actionable data, because our platform is both for the buy side and the sell side. Okay. And on the sell side, if you're a publisher, you need to know who to prospect. And I did not want to waste my team's time on going after advertisers that weren't interested in the podcast space. Again, back then it was pretty nascent. It wasn't the major media channel that it is today. And so I discovered Magellan AI, or they discovered me. I don't remember exactly how it went. And I became one of the first subscribers back in 2017. And again, we built that business on the back of that data, and eventually were acquired. And I've never seen a better proof of concept than actually being the one to experience it about a company and a product. You know, people always talk about product market fit. Well, when, you know, you increased revenue where, you know, 2x, 3x, 4x based on the back of data, that you're like, okay, this is pretty good stuff. And so when I decided to look at my career options, I had already, you know, become familiar with the company and reached out and decided to join the company. And that was over 4 years ago now. So no credit to me, but I'll tell you that what Magellan AI is at its core is a podcast data and analytics company. For folks that are buying podcast advertising like yourself, it's media planning and show discovery. Because unfortunately, for the industry writ large, discoverability is still a challenge, right? Just knowing that podcasts exist, that they've got loyal audiences, that they are good places to market, you know, a simple Google search isn't going to get you there. A search of Apple Podcasts or Spotify, great platforms, but as an enterprise level marketer, probably not the source of data you're looking for, right? They're great listening platforms. So that's what we do on the buy side. Of course, competitive intelligence as well, media validation and verification, just understanding if your ads ran the way they were supposed to run. And more recently, we've also become a measurement company. So, you know, pixel-based attribution, being able to connect, hey, this person listened to my podcast and then this thing happened. If I'm a direct response advertiser, maybe a conversion happened or a lead form was filled. If I'm a brand awareness advertiser, the number of visitors or sessions on my website, whatever events I'm measuring. And then to my earlier point on the sell side, it's much less media planning, much more prospecting. You know, spending time going after the folks that are spending the most money in the podcast space that are buying content similar to yours, because it turns out it's a lot easier to sell folks that are already sold on content like that. And going along with that discoverability conversation, those buyers are itching. You can speak to this better than I can, Joey. When you find a podcast that works, you want more of it. You know, it's like, can we pour gas on that fire? And eventually you can only buy so many impressions in that show. You need to find other shows that are similar audiences, similar content. And that's what our platform helps identify and connects connects the advertiser to the publisher. Just we're the connective tissue of the podcast advertising industry.
You mentioned a few things I want to circle back to, but yeah, that was a great breakdown. A couple of extras that I'll mention to everyone listening is, for me as a buyer, I like to see the retention rate of a show. Now, I don't know how accurate all those, you know, sometimes it doesn't pick up maybe everything. I don't know. I'm not here to say it does or doesn't, but I typically look at that as a unit of metric of, do I want to go with this show? Because, oh, the retention rate's not that great. I can't see that anywhere else. I can't get that by a Google search. So even if I could find some podcasts, and we bootstrap a lot of our stuff, we like to do it ourselves. We've seen success from doing the custom curated approach, prospecting through Magellan, rather than going with, not to say that there's not value in agencies or brokerage people doing this, but I actually like to do it in-house more so. And this tool is invaluable for that, as well as seeing the retention rate, connecting with a show from the platform too. So you guys, one of the features of Magellan, for those of you listening, is there's a connection feature that intros you to somebody on your behalf. So you could say, hey, I'm interested in John Smith's show. And then Magellan does an intro. And it's not guaranteed you're going to get them, but it gives you another step to get in front of that person. And then the other thing that I like too, again, being an advertiser, is I actually get to see my ad read checks come back, both in transcriptions, and I get to hear the audio playback in a concise, consolidated place that my team can go and check every month. Did the ad go live? Was the link correct? Was the code correct? Was the audio sounding good? And there's so many other things. Like I'm a geek for the platform. And to your point, I don't know how you were sold to Magellan, but maybe it's through a podcast ad, but like we found it because of necessity. And then we've been like users of it. And yeah, it's a product that, you know, we wish we would have developed ourselves, but we don't want to do the work. So you mentioned prospecting. How many current shows like are on the platform or connected to the platform? Because I think your scope is really important to understand, both from the quality perspective and like the targeting perspective. Last I heard, it was the top 3,000 podcasts. Is that still about accurate?
We've actually moved away from that naming convention because it gets a bit confusing. It might lead someone to believe that they only have access to data inside the platform on 3,000 shows. That's just an index by which we look at the podcast world each week to evaluate what shows we should be sampling and which ones we shouldn't.
Okay.
In the database itself, there's well over 40,000 podcasts that you have access to data to. And to your point earlier, we'll connect you to every one of them. And it's important. The differentiator there is that we've already confirmed that's the party responsible for ad sales. If your listeners are new to podcast advertising, it's not like other channels where it's just, if you know five or six main publishers, you're going to cover 95% of the market. It's not like that. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of independent shows, independent networks, along with the big guys as well. And to know who they're affiliated with and to be able to be connected directly to them is a huge time saver, as opposed to going to a podcast's website and there's an info@email address. And you send them an email. Joey, you're laughing because I know you've done this. And you send them the email saying, hey, I'm interested. In other words, I want to give you money. and you're begging to give them money and you can't get a reply. And it turns out that no one's checking that email address and they're actually repped by an independent network somewhere or whatever the case may be. So yeah, we're connecting the dots there.
Yeah. And the way I use this tool is it's not guaranteed I'm going to get the intro replied to, just like any case in outreach. That's fine.
Sure.
But it's an extra extension to my team where I might be emailing the info email. I might hit them up on a DM. I might, you know, whatever the case is, but it's an extra line out there in the water, you know, as we're all fishing for the same person. And these intros are free, by the way. So like, you know, there's no credits. So like, oh, so as far as I know, John, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys...
No, you're absolutely right.
So like, you could just literally go out and ask for all these intros. I don't know. At some point, you must cut people off. But I mean, I haven't experienced that. And we've gotten so many leads from that venue, like from going through you guys. So that's been incredible. I want to go back to, I'm going to say this one for later, because this is a big one. One of the biggest ones, top of mind for me, top of mind for other brands, and it's scary, is the tracking and attribution, right?
Sure.
So before we get into that, I'm going to save that for later. It's going to be a little teaser for later. But let's talk about like what other unique insights does Magellan offer to brands who want to advertise on shows? Like what else can they see in the platform?
Yeah, I mean, of course, example creative, that's kind of a basic thing. What competitors are up to, what they're spending, where they're advertising, where they're accelerating, where they're pulling back. I think to go along with competitive intelligence, a really key use case is rather than looking at competitors, looking at brands that you consider to be an affinity brand. And when I say affinity brand, what I mean is a brand that you would be more than happy for your ad to be next to. You don't consider them competitive at all. However, you believe you're going after the exact same target market. And in that case, if they have been active in the podcast space for a while, they've already spent 7-8 figures figuring out which shows work for that target demographic, psychographic, whatever that target is. And that becomes the cheat code. I can't tell you the number of brands that we chat with that say, hey, listen, I'd love to say I'm doing something more complex, but brand X, who we consider an affinity brand, has been doing this in the space for 5 years. They spend $10 million a year. When I go look at their activity, which you can do right inside the platform, hey, you know, how consistently are they on this podcast? Are they on every month? Did they try it for 3 months and not come back? Mm. And I look at the ones that they just continue to throw money at. Those are the ones that I want to try. And so, you know, that kind of insight, although it sounds fairly rudimentary, is, you know, extremely helpful as a marketer. The other thing I would point out, you asked about, you know, data and insights for a brand or an advertiser. I think in the podcast space, more than many other channels, it's really important to find contextual fits to your marketing. And when I say contextual fits, I mean the content contextually fitting with your target market, whether that be a direct contextual fit or an indirect. Mm. Direct meaning you're a supplement company, let's get on podcasts that talk about health and wellness and people that are of that mind so that our product will resonate with them. We know they're already thinking about that. When I say indirect contextual fits, maybe we also know that our target market loves yoga or SEC football. Either way, these subject matter, whether it be yoga, whether it be health and wellness or something more specific, mitochondria, what podcasts are talking about mitochondria. There is just no good way outside of a platform like ours to find the podcasts that are routinely talking about those subjects. And, you know, that's where I want to spend my money. The podcast that so if I mentioned SEC football earlier, if I wanted to find an SEC football podcast, I could go to a platform and look at the genres and find sports and maybe even find college football. That's not going to tell me which shows actually are talking about that very specific group of schools on a weekly basis. And, you know, our keyword analysis tool inside of our platform allows advertisers to do that. And we hear time and time again, that's one of the most valuable features that they enjoy using.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the keyword one too. And you mentioned the affinity, and we use the term like harmonize. It's just one of many terms to say like, it's not the same product, but it's the same customer you're going after. And right. One of the case studies for us was like, we have a magnesium breakthrough supplement. So people that are interested in sleep. So I'm not going to go find a show that's advertising magnesium on the same show, because obviously they might have a non-compete, it might have exclusivity. But what I am looking for is, well, who's interested in sleep? Blue light blocker, glass, people wearing those at night, they're interested in sleep, people who have sleep devices. So it's like, it's harmonized customers, but non-compete products. And that yes. is the beauty of the keyword search tools. It allows you to do that. And one other thing that I love Magellan for, and again, I'm a geek on Magellan, but it's the ability to spy on your competitors or spy on the harmonized markets you want to go into. So I'll give one little case study example is, if I know that someone's crushing it, I look at the stats, the analytics, and I see that they're just continuing to scale. Well, I'm going to go unpack, whether it's my market or not, what are they doing? What's the messaging? What's the script? What's the formula? Because there's a formula. What's the offer that they're doing? Is it a 30% off? Is it a gift with purchase? And then are they repeating it everywhere, meaning that it's universal and that everybody's buying off of this one thing? Or are they custom curating? So based on the show you want to advertise with, you can then go and start creating these customized scripts or outreach. And there's just so much to learn from other people and what they're doing who've already spent a bunch of money that you don't have to spend to test.
You're exactly right. It's not just what shows did they choose and how often are they on them, but how are they using them? And, you know, so the ability to go in and listen to the creative, there's every ad that we've ever sampled, there's over 5 million of them in the platform is available to be listened to. The transcripts there. So you can see how those other brands are engaging with that specific host and vis-a-vis their audience.
Yeah. And you can use ChatGPT to like take a transcript and say, give me the formula, and like literally gives you formulas based on all these scripts, which is really cool integration. So I know you guys have a lot on your roadmap, but I think that some integrations with more like script analysis and things like that would be really interesting to see. But let's talk about ROI. ROI is the big thing, man. Like everybody sure. is scared of podcast advertising for the fact that one, it's still relatively new to some companies who've never done it. Two, it can be expensive to get into. However, I would say that you could hybrid deal this in a more beneficial way over long terms. And there's ways to do that. We're not going to get into today's episode, but we talk a lot about that. How is Magellan, because I know you mentioned pixel-based tracking, but I have a couple of philosophical questions right now. So first off, how do brands typically account for the top of funnel attribution of a podcast ad when they've got maybe an Amazon store and then they've got their e-com store that they can track? And in a lot of cases, this is us as a brand with Bioptimizers. I can't necessarily track like directly what's coming in from a podcast ad unless I use IP pixel-based tracking, which isn't always the case. But in your opinion, based on working with multiple companies and brands, what's a reasonable ROI to be expected by doing podcast advertising that you can track and account for, not adding the extra surplus of potential leak over or spillover?
Well, okay, it's a loaded question, and there are multiple answers to your question, and I'll try to address all of them. You know, first and foremost, obviously the discussion starts with, is our messaging brand awareness or is it direct response? And how we look at the success of the campaign is going to be first and foremost dependent upon that. You know, brand awareness, the reality is if you're a brand awareness advertiser, you're either going to need some sort of, you know, survey-based lift study, if you believe in those, some folks don't, or pixel-based attribution just to measure, whether it be website activity, form fills, whatever you're directing the folks to do. Because again, you're not putting a unique coupon code or URL out there based on an offer if you're a brand awareness advertiser.
Right.
Now, if you're a direct response advertiser, that's been kind of the part and parcel with the podcast industry since the industry began, a unique coupon code or URL to track conversions. And the challenge with that is twofold. One, what you just mentioned, obviously there are multiple channels that people can buy through. And two, there are multiple services out there. When you think about like a Honey or a Retail Me Not, that get a hold of coupon codes. And so then you're trying to separate the signal from the noise.
Yes.
Which one actually worked and which one just went, for lack of a better term, viral, you know, through one of those services. And what we're seeing from the savviest direct response advertisers is a mixture of both. We want to use coupon codes and unique URLs, post-purchase survey. We just want as much data as possible. However, we want the backbone of actual attributable data, meaning pixel-based attribution, to kind of solidify what we believe and what we don't believe. For instance, let's say I use coupon codes and I'm worried that it's popping up on these websites. Well, if I'm running pixel-based attribution, I can tie the actual user who used that coupon code to whether they heard the ad or not, whether they were exposed to the actual ad. So that way I can get a much truer sense of, you know, of the conversions that we had, even though they all used coupon code Joey, were they actually exposed to the ad? And if they weren't, then we know it was kind of a false positive. And I think the combination of those practices together has become probably the most reliable way to measure ROI, to measure ROAS. Now, if you wanted me to give you a number on what ROI or ROAS to expect in the podcast space, I wouldn't do it. And the reason is everybody's business is built different.
Yeah.
You're selling mattresses. It's the same thing as when you think about an attribution, a look back window. How long can I connect the listener to the action? You know, for somebody who's selling something that's relatively inexpensive, they might have a very narrow look back window, 7 days. For somebody who's selling something that it takes a little more consideration, it's a little more pricey. Maybe it's a mattress or a car. They're going to need it. That's a longer sales cycle. And so they're probably going to need a longer look back one. And then, when you combine all those factors to be able to say, hey, you can expect a 2x versus a 10x ROI, it's really just kind of dependent on the type of product. And then, of course, how that product is priced. You know, each individual marketer is dealing with a product that they've got a unique selling proposition. I'm really good at mattresses and mine are the cheapest. I'm really good at mattresses and mine are the highest quality. Well, if I'm the mattress advertiser that's the highest quality, my return on investment on podcasts or any other channel is probably going to look lower because I'm spending more on the product, right? While still trying to be competitive in the space. I'm not trying to evade the answer. I'm just saying that the answer is multifaceted based on a lot of factors that don't have anything to do with the actual advertising.
Sure. Yeah. And I get that. And I know everyone's reluctant to want to give like a hard and fast number. So I'll give my hard and fast based on my experience. It's not to say that people have to actually adopt that, but a couple of things you mentioned, I think the attribution window is important to understand, like how fast do people buy your product on average? Like, you know, if I'm going to buy a $6,000 mattress, probably not just going to impulse buy it that day. So the 30-day attribution window might not be appropriate for that particular advertising campaign. But the one thing I learned from a company called, it was a food delivery service called Trifecta, and they're doing a lot of podcast advertising, I think, at the time. And they were saying that they're looking to bring their cost of acquisition of a customer down over time. So the blended average of all their channels that they're doing, they're just monitoring that. Now they're still tracking podcast ads, but their expectation isn't to hit a return on ad spend equivalent of a Facebook ad potentially. So I think that you have to set different levels of expectations based on what journey of funnel they're coming through. So top of funnel, as an example, just ballpark, you know, for me, if I can hit like a 1.3, 1.5, that's kind of like a break even for us. But I know we've acquired the customer and I know that's pretty darn good. And there's so much that I can't account for, whether it's Amazon or people word of mouth. Like how many times you hear podcast ad in your car, you don't remember the code or the link, but you go and you buy later or you get retargeted, right?
Right.
You know, like smart AI that's retargeting you because you listen to the ad. But I think that really the way of the future, and it doesn't solve the problem with the Amazon side yet. Maybe there's going to be an integration one day because you can't ask Amazon to place a pixel on your site, as far as I know, or like their site. But how is the IP pixel-based tracking work for you guys where you can control it? Is it easy to implement across the board or is there still some things you're working through?
It's easy to implement across the board. You know, we were in the fortunate position of already being partnered and connected with so many publishers out there already. So, you know, there's basically two pieces of implementation other than partnering with us. And that is making sure the pipes are connected with the publisher and then putting the pixel on your own website. And with a service like ours, we believe in a white glove level of service. So, you know, a lot of marketers know that they need it, but they're kind of scared of it because they're like, I don't want to mess anything up. I don't want to, you know, will this pixel screw something up somehow? I'm messing with JavaScript. I'm not a coder, you know, and we walk them, you know, arm in arm through every step of the process. As far as, and you know, it's actually a lot more advanced than you'd think. It's not just, did they go to the website and did they listen to the podcast? But, you know, we're doing integrations left and right for different and interesting use cases. You know, we had an advertiser not too long ago come to us and say, hey, we really want to measure app downloads. And, you know, that's not something that you're going to be able to measure from just going to the website and connecting to the podcast listen. So we go out and integrate with other companies that can help us produce that data, like a Singular, like an AppsFlyer, and then put those connections in place. And then, so those companies are partners of ours now. and we're able to measure the app downloads for them. And that's just one quick example, but everyone has a unique use case and a unique need. And most of those integrations can happen. It's just about having the conversation and figuring out what you need and what's most valuable to you.
And yeah, and that's been a big initiative for us in 2023. And we're going to continue to build that because we've done a really good job at crossing, you know, all the little boxes we needed to track things that maybe we can't track. So we do gift with purchases sometimes exclusive to that podcast. We do a discount code, but again, it could get picked up by the Rakutens, the CJs, et cetera. And then we look at the blended cost of acquisition. So out of all those things, you get a pretty good account of what's happening, but you're still, you know, struggling sometimes to say like, is that actually the number or not? So I don't think that it's about perfection. It is about action and just measuring something and what's the trend look like. So,
Right.
Let's talk about the trend because everyone loves like, you know, what we're doing and what's happened, but what's coming. So what's the meta in your opinion? Cause like you've got your finger on the pulse. You're so close to this every day and you're working with multiple varieties of brands and spectrums of brands. What's the future of podcast advertising just across the board?
I think it's going to continue to get more sophisticated. It already has gotten much more sophisticated. You know, for folks that aren't as engaged in the space, there tends to be this belief that it's a blunt instrument. You know, I'm going to go buy a HostRed ad on one podcast and yeah, maybe it'll work, but it's very labor intensive. And, you know, there's no sort of targeting or any kind of understanding of the audience or anything like that. It's just, you know, spray some ads out there and hope for the best. And that's just not the case. I mean, the industry has the same level of targeting, the same level of measurement. And I'm talking about things that are beyond the scope of even what Magellan AI does, ad level insertion and timing and picking episodes and cherry picking content and just all of the bells and whistles that you'd want in ad tech. They didn't exist when I got into the space, but they've gotten there and will continue to grow at an exponential rate. I mean, you're seeing new companies every day doing really cool stuff. I also think that, you know, there's been a debate in the podcast space around, you know, everything in the podcast world, if you're not familiar, is based on the open RSS feed, right? RSS, really simple syndication. It's an old technology, but it's also what's beautiful about the podcast space. Anyone can get into it. There are no barriers to entry. There are hosting platforms out there that offer free plans. So if you have a microphone and an internet connection, you can have a podcast. And the beauty of that allows creators from everywhere to continue to create shows. And you're finding those creators continue to enter the space. That hasn't slowed down. Mm. Now, there are certainly plenty of folks that don't put the level of work into it. Just like, you know, I know you talk a lot about YouTube and YouTube influencers, and it's the same thing. There are plenty of YouTube channels out there that don't have any views and they don't put the level of effort or care into it that they need to garner those views. And that's true of podcasts as well. But you're also seeing a lot of great creators come out of nowhere. And I you're going to continue to see that proliferation of content, but you're also going to see it in other channels or in multi-channel. Like in the podcast world, the folks that have been in the podcast world for a long time, there's always this debate of what can we call a podcast and what can't we? Does it have to have an open RSS feed to be called a podcast? If somebody's doing a podcast style show on YouTube, but they don't have an RSS feed, is it a podcast? And my answer is a podcast is yes, it is. It's audio, it's storytelling, it's communicating from you, the host, to the listener in whatever form or fashion that they choose to deliver that. And I don't think RSS is going away anytime soon. I think it's a very versatile way to deliver content and very agnostic way to deliver content. I just think you're going to find other opportunities to find your content, whether that be via YouTube or other video services, whether that be on social media. You know, you can find a lot of great content on, you know, various social media platforms that maybe that's like their home. That's where they live. You know, a lot of podcasters for a while it was still a thing, we're using Facebook Live a lot. And so I think as we look at the podcast space and you know, the other thing that's important to acknowledge is that it is a mass media now. You know, 120 million Americans listen to podcasts. That's a staggering number to me, considering where the number was when I got into the space. You know, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. It was 100 million when I got into the space. It's just the advertisers and the publishers are growing at the same rate of the industry. And that rate is snowballing in a very good way. And those of us involved in the industry just got to make sure and not make mistakes that other channels have made that maybe sidetracked the channel, that didn't allow for the level of growth that they were hoping for. But I think so far the industry's done a pretty good job of that.
Interesting. And I was just thinking of all the questions I'd like to ask on that. And I'm like, you know what? Probably just have to have John on again on the trends of podcast advertising. So we'll save that for another episode, part two. But listen, everybody who's listening to this podcast today, you know, you are in this industry, whether you like it or not. You're already listening to us, right? So if you're a brand, this is a new tool that you can start to entertain and use to find new shows. And if you are a show looking for brands or somebody who's doing that on behalf of the host, this is an amazing tool. It's an investment. It's an enterprise level investment for your company. The best thing to do is to get on a call with John or his team to get a demo. Check out the website. There's a bunch of reports John was telling me about regarding ad spend and like trends that you can get for free. But ultimately, seeing and experiencing it live on a call is just going to show exactly what it could do for your business. And I've been on those calls, and obviously now I'm a customer for life. So John, what's the best way to get a hold of you if people want to get a demo set up?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they want to get a demo set up, feel free to sign up through our website. Or if you want to email me directly, feel free. It's john@magellan.ai. You mentioned some of the free content that we put out. You know, there's a lot of research and white papers on our website. If you're just poking around and want to learn a little bit more about what's happened and where it's going in the podcast ad world, again, magellan.ai. But we'd be more than happy, anyone who's interested, hopping on a call, showing you through the platform, answering your questions. We aim to be, as I mentioned before, the connective tissue of the podcast advertising industry. And so that requires us to not just be salespeople, but to be, you know, ambassadors for the industry and to help educate folks if they're looking for that. If they're not looking for that, we'll just show them what data we have and see if it'd be valuable to them or not. But either way, we'd love to chat with everyone. And again, last thing I should mention, we do a monthly webinar where we highlight the top spenders in the podcast space and then also the top movers and shakers, you know, the folks that increase their spend month over month the most. And that's, again, all free content for folks that maybe they're on the ad sales side and they're not ready for a subscription yet. You could at least get some leads and some thoughts about where to be spending your time there.
Love it. Thank you for sharing so much value today, so many insights. And I definitely want to do a part two of this. There's been a few guests that I've had on. I'm like, there's not enough time on this one. I want to keep it as short as I can because attention spans dwindle these days. But let's wrap up the episode now. Listen, I don't have the time to do a second podcast, like in terms of like starting a new show, but I really wanted to do a personal podcast one day where I just get to talk about things and get to know people on the other side. Because we're always in business meetings, right? And it's like, you don't get to know the personal side. So I'm like, instead of doing that, I'm just going to ask some personal questions on this podcast as a personal question tool. So first question, then we're going to do a lightning round. It's 10 questions, first thing that comes to mind, but Partner Up Profits Power Move. This can be something as people are listening to it, as it relates to our conversation today, as to what's like a power move that they can implement in their business that you'd recommend doing that you've seen success from.
From a marketing perspective, meaning like I'm a brand and what's a power move that I could make?
Yeah, somebody in partnership marketing looking to level up and maybe it relates to podcasts or it's like how to connect better with people, just something unique that you'd recommend as like a tactical tip to somebody.
I would really recommend reaching out to peers in my industry, whatever my industry is, nutritional supplements, who are doing the thing and asking them how they started. What do they do? What tools do they use? I did the same thing when Magellan AI was a departure for me in that we're a software company. I mean, of course, we're in the podcast space, but I was always in media sales or media buying previously to this. You know, when I started, one of the greatest things that I could do was go talk to other folks that have competitive intelligence tools or media planning tools in other channels and just tell me how it works. Tell me, you know, what gets folks up and going, what works, what doesn't. Just talking to peers and asking them and not being afraid to ask them, you know, those questions without giving away the secret sauce. Really beneficial.
Love that. Taking note on that too. So, all right, lightning round, quick fire questions. First thing that comes to mind and we go quick. So favorite food?
Pizza.
Best memory?
Getting to go to the Super Bowl with my father, who unfortunately passed away a few years later.
Awesome memory. If you had another go round in this world and you got to write a new story for your life, what would it be in 30 seconds or less?
I don't think I'd change it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm happy with the story. I like this story. I don't want to rewrite it. I'd write more. You know what I do? I'd rewrite the number of hours in the day because there's more stuff I'd love to do that I don't have time to do.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. Like parallel lives, so you could just live and experience. Right. That would be my number one thing.
Yeah, give me the multiverse. I'll take it.
Yes. What's like the best productivity hack you've implemented in your business or personal life?
Oh, this is such a rote answer, but ChatGPT. Like, I just want a list of X, Y, and Z. Just hit me up with it. And I, you know, in 5 minutes, I've got something really, really powerful. But it's also powerful in your personal life. You know, you have a sick kid at home and you're curious about what symptoms you should be looking for. And, you know, if you Google that, you're going to get a list of 15 different websites and, you know, they all say something different. And it's not to say that ChatGPT is a doctor and I'm going to solely rely on that. But to ease my mind that night while my kid is coughing too much or whatever the case may be, it's just helpful in so many arenas. I'm going to have a small bit of construction work done on my home. And I don't even know what questions to ask a contractor. And I just asked ChatGPT, what question should I be asking? And it was so comprehensive and helpful. And I know everyone probably says that, but it's been fun.
You're the first actually on these interviews, at least, but I agree. What I like about it is you're not getting bombarded with the marketing behind it. You know what I mean? Like the top carpenter's 10 tips and like come read my blog. It's like, you just get the unfiltered, give me the answers and give me the logical answers. So that's
another great example of that is like, if you need a good recipe for something, asking ChatGPT will actually do it.
Yeah.
And you don't have, the thing I love to cook and the thing I hate about finding recipes on the internet is you get the person's entire life story and why brownies really matter to them before you get to the recipe all the way at the bottom of the page.
Yeah. Littered with ads and like pop-ups and you're just like, just give me the recipe, please.
Just give me the recipe, please.
Do you want to retire? Yes or no? And if not, what are you doing in your traditional retirement years?
Yeah, I do want to retire. I'm not one of those. I want to retire, but I won't stop working, if that makes sense. Yeah. I just will work on other things. And maybe that's some of the creative outlets that we were talking about earlier. Maybe that's being more of a consultant for multiple companies. You know, you see a lot of folks that get on in their careers that do that as well. But it's not the same dogged, you know, 60-hour weeks where, you know, the deadline. I think a step back from that at some point in life would probably be rewarding as opposed to doing that until the day you die.
Yeah, I agree with that. And finding passions that like you like to help and contribute, and you can do so without, even if you didn't want to, you don't have to charge. It's just things you'd like to do, right?
So it's just do it. Right.
Cool. What book changed your life?
Gosh, I'm a voracious reader. I would say Stephen King's On Writing would be the number one that comes to mind. I believe that the written word is so important and so vital and something that so many people don't pay attention to. I mean, think about how many emails we send in a day. It's not, it was like, we don't write letters anymore. Sure, we write more than ever. But when you go back and read handwritten letters from the 1940s and the amount of care that's put into the language in it versus the amount of care that's put into a language of an email today. Now, of course, we don't have time to do that on every email. We're sending hundreds of emails a day. But just being able to communicate clearly and concisely is such a valuable skill. And Stephen King's On Writing is so valuable. You don't need to have aspirations to be an author to find so much value in that book. I highly recommend it to anyone.
Interesting. I always pick up the books anybody recommends. So I'm an Audible fanatic too. But I'd love to talk more about the fact of the written word and the letter concept back in the day when people would send them from like war and like how much thought went into this. And like, there was no erase or ChatGPT to figure out what to say. Like it just boggles the mind when you think about the amount of effort that went into those. But I digress on that. Now back to you though. What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh gosh. I don't know that I think that's a question that people ask themselves a lot, like, especially in your earlier in your career, it's like, what can I do to make my mark on the world, that people know me, that there's a building named after me. And then as I've gotten older, I have kids now and a family. I think I'm less interested in the world remembering me and much more my family remembering me in a positive way and feeling like I did everything I could for them to set themselves up for success in the future. So I think I want to be remembered by my family for taking care of them and for loving them and for hopefully setting them up for success even at long after I'm gone.
Love that. And being a pretty new father myself, I can see how that starts to shift on you as you start to have kids and family. Yeah. What's a skill that you'd recommend developing as early as possible in business or personal that's going to impact you later in life?
Brevity. In answering questions, I say that as we wrap an hour here where I have babbled on, but in answering questions in business and in life, folks have a tendency to ramble, have a tendency to, because there's so many thoughts going on in your mind at the same time, and stack ranking which one of those are the most important is very hard to do in the moment. But honing that skill, and then especially doing that in written communication, you know, if I send an email to someone, it's generally not going to have more than a couple two-sentence paragraphs and a couple bullet points. And beyond that, if I need to communicate more than that, it should be a phone call. It should be a Zoom. Because I just don't think that anyone gives the level of attention to an email nowadays that is five paragraphs with five sentences each long. I just don't think so. And also fighting the urge to sound like the smartest person in the room in that email. Great. You've got a big vocabulary. I love it. You know, I appreciate large vocabularies, but when you're trying to communicate concisely, it's not about large vocabulary. In fact, it's probably better off to be emailing it, you know, a ninth grade reading level, not a graduate student reading level.
100%. Yeah, I'm like that too. If I get more than a text, I'm like, just call me, or like, just let's do a meeting. Like, I don't have time for this. If we're meeting back up in a year from today, is there something you're working at or something you're working towards that we'd be celebrating?
Yeah, we in the background at Magellan, and this is a business answer, but in the background, we've been working on the platform that we described today, that exact same platform, but for video. So, you know, services like YouTube and other video services, there, of course, are many out there. And we have been working behind the scenes on that for a while. And we're looking forward to making some announcements soon. And really excited for that, for our users and for folks that maybe are looking for solutions there that haven't found them yet. And I'm also excited about that because that ties back exactly to what we were talking about previously, where podcasts aren't just RSS feeds. They are YouTube and they are Rumble and they are X and they are Facebook. They are everything. And so just being able to be more of that connective tissue is exciting for us as a company.
That's exciting as a brand, as a product company, because we're experiencing that right now. We're flying blind a lot of times with some of the creators and finding people because we don't have the tools Magellan has for podcasts. There's nobody else that I've found so far that's serving that purpose. So I'm excited for that one too. So let me know when that comes out.
I'll definitely let you know.
Last question. What's a bucket list item you haven't done that you want to do?
Travel to Asia and specifically Thailand. My wife and I actually had a trip planned to Thailand, signed the paperwork to go. And within a week of signing that paperwork, I got a positive pregnancy test.
Oh,
and that changed the math on it. Cause you know, you don't plan a trip like that for the next month. It was further out. And you know, since then now we have two children and they're, you know, younger ages. And so, you know, a long 10, 14 day trip to Asia hasn't been in the cards, but still would love to do it and plan on doing it.
Nice. Yeah. Happy accident, you know, good and bad, but yeah, there's always time to travel and kids are awesome. So John, Thank you so much. Honestly, today's conversation was one of my favorites and I was looking forward to this for a long time and definitely want to have you back on. For those of you listening, go check out Magellan. If this is something that you've been interested in and you're also flying blind as a business, or you're looking to acquire new brand sponsorships, I've got another guy, John, I sent your way that he's like loving the tool as a guy looking for new brands to sponsor the shows he's organizing as a top 10 ranking podcast agency. So definitely check it out, Magellan.ai. John, any last words?
No, just thank you. Thank you for having me on and, you know, asking really relevant questions for a lot of marketers out there, because the reality is that if you're a marketer sitting there right now, not knowing exactly what you want to do, thinking that audio might make sense and podcasts might make sense, you sometimes feel like you're on an island. It feels like everybody else is plugged in and in the know and you're the one that isn't. Turns out no one is. Mm. And that's why we're here. We're here to help guide and help everyone. You know, we're the Switzerland of the podcast land. So let us help.
I love that. And with that, we'll wrap this up. Thank you everyone for listening and stay tuned. We're going to have John back on the show very shortly. Take care.
That's all we've got for this Partner Up Profits podcast episode. As always, I hope you leave here today with one new idea that you can apply to your life and business. I'd be forever grateful to you for leaving a review of this episode. And if you like it, rate it a 5 or give it a thumbs up and just leave a quick comment in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at partnerupprofits.com on social media. And please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, you're just one partnership away from changing your business. Let others do the selling for you and get ready to partner up and profit.